Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live. Pete Gray here, along with Rock Cod Rick Mexa in the world headquarters, overlooking all the landings here, where we're watching the Intrepid get ready to go on a... How many day trip is that? Like a...
3 days.
A 3 day
trip. Yeah, 3 day round trip.
Down there.
Yeah. Chris Minnick was
I'll bet Chris Minnick's on it.
Chris Minnick was in the tackle store buying us out of Seaguard Gold 100 pounds. So there is no more gold 100 on the shelf.
And that's the cool thing. Now there's 100 pound, there's 130, there's 150, and all the way up on Seaguard Gold.
Yeah, pretty,
that's so cool.
Pretty slick.
Hey, we've got a great show going on right now here for you. And we have Chris and John from CalStar talking fishing rods or fishing poles, as Leon used to say. and we're giving away a phenomenal prize, too.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun and so much great information with these two guys in here. Just the true wizards when it comes to building fishing rods, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. And you said it, man, an unbelievable gift for one lucky caller or texter at the end of the show today, and that is a brand-new CalStar Graphiter 800XX rod, a fantastic rod for some of this big fish that's going on right now, and just a rod that you're going to have for the rest of your life, a beautiful 8-foot, 60, 80-pound rod. You can fish it on the rail. You can put it in your waist and pull on it. It's just an awesome, awesome rod, and a big thanks to the boys here for making that happen.
Yeah,
today.
That's for sure. And time for the catch report.
It is, man. Today our catch report is sponsored in part by Gamakatsu, that fishdope.com report. If you like to fish for tuna and you're not using Gamakatsu hooks, you are missing bites. Their 720 HD assist hook is the right one for outfitting your nighttime deep drop jigging. Also, for bait fishing, nothing beats a Nautilus circle hook. They come in sizes as small as a number 4 and up to a 6-0. And for big fish, the Nautilus HD is tough enough, but not oversized. You can see it at your local dealer or check Gamakatsu.com for more information. We got him, Captain Mark Wish, our private boater buddy, is standing by. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Ricky, Pete. Chris, John, man, what an all-star show you got today here. I love listening to you guys.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, morning.
You're like you have CalStar running through your veins, Mark.
I do. I truly do. Fish with some of the other stuff from time to time, and I just am a CalStar guy. You know, all those numbers, I grew up with all those numbers, and those numbers make sense to me, and some of the other stuff just doesn't. And I just love it. I just love it. I got a little corner in my store where I've got a nice old chair, and I spend a little afternoon time there kind of thinking about this and that, and surrounded by a whole bunch of CalStar rods, trying to figure out exactly what I'm going to do with that new blank that you guys were kind enough to design. And, getting close to figuring out what we're going to do with that 278 foot here, how to fit it in to the perfect spot.
All right.
Going to go catch a few sea bass here pretty quick. But, hey, guys, we definitely had some winter weather this week. I had over 6 inches of rain here at my house in Huntington Beach last Friday.
Jeez.
I got a gauge here and a gauge at the shop, which is only a mile away. And both of them said the same. It's 6 3/8 inches. Like, holy cow.
Wow.
Yeah. And now it's mostly blowing through, thank God. It's blowing northeast here now. It's really strange. But, the weather's going to get better. And surprisingly, with this weather we've had, there wasn't all that much wind on it, thank God. And for this time of year, that water is still in the mid-60s up and down the coast. And that's pretty good. It's almost December. And with this weather, obviously not a whole lot of reports, virtually none, to be honest. And but I think a little historical perspective is in order given the situation right now. So in seasons past, when we get this good signal of squid all up and down the coast, there's been a huge influx of squid. I found out just the other day that some new squid showed up in Santa Monica Bay, and it's been out in front of Long Beach in various areas for a while, and now we got bait at the checkpoint and that bait down by you guys San Diego and probably some areas that haven't even been found on the coast yet. But once that squid gets around and it settles in for a bit, which is certainly what we got, lo and behold, we get a shot at some of that local sea bass. So there's two areas I wanted to mention specifically here for you guys, especially since we got some decent weather coming up and the Thanksgiving holiday. You know, I think we're going to get a little more coverage out there. But the Furman Reef on the lower edge of Palos Verdes, that's one of my favorites. And the other one's the Bait Grounds in the checkpoint area down there below Dana Point. So you got two totally different kinds of spots. Furman Reef is exactly that. It's perfect sea bass structure. Comes off of Point Furman. It's got a nice boiler right in the middle of it, surrounded by kelp. Nice little edge on the edge of it. So you're pretty much fishing that on the anchor. Uphill conditions. I've never done anything there in downhill. Fish is on an uphill. Anchoring up in 7 to 8 fathoms on the outside corner of the reef there, chopping and chumming to get the area all lit up with the smaller fish. And I've never caught big fish there. I've caught a lot of 12 to like 25s like that. But it's not a big fish spot, but definitely holds some volume. And it can be good. And this time of year, guys, dress warm because that wind coming along the edge of that point there. God,
that's chilly.
It's cold. Yeah. Holy crap. Yeah, and the other zone that I love is the bait grounds down there off that checkpoint. You know, and that bait comes and goes, but it looks like there's some settling in now. And rumors are definitely floating around about some big fish from that zone. Now, unlike Furman, I've never caught one. I probably never caught one under 30 pounds off that checkpoint sector. Exactly the opposite. All big ones.
Wow.
And mostly nighttime fish there, bait grounds fish. You know, we fly line at night, and you got a dropper loop set up down toward the bottom. Jig and squid works. But actually, we've done the best fly lining at night on those fish there on the bait in that checkpoint zone. And, again, heavy tackle because so much of that is really, really good one. So we'll see if that gets going for sure. I know there's been some caught, and we'll just see how much develops there. And that's pretty much this week's report. You
hey,
know, if you
Mark,
guys,
I saw something this week that I don't think I really ever remember seeing here in San Diego, and that is squid boats unloading their catch next door at the commercial place next door. I mean, the squid must be really close here. I think it's just up in the county and stuff like that.
I'm not a your area squid guy, but I saw some pictures on the internet somewhere of the squid fleet that's fishing. I think they're up above La Jolla a little bit, but honestly, I don't know exactly where. But I was stunned at the amount of light boats and seiner pressure that was there. That's a lot of bait.
It's a lot of bait, and it's all over the place, right?
Yeah, it seems to be.
That's good.
Seems to be.
Yeah,
we've got a bunch. You know, the whole food chain, it's all based on nutrients. And with the runoff bringing all the water down and washing in all kinds of stuff for the little creatures to eat, and then the squid, you know, something guys don't realize, but I had a biologist explaining to me how when the squid, when it's not getting mopped up, when it dies, goes down to the bottom, you know, rots away, and that's an incredible amount of fertilizer for the area. So the combination of all this bait and all this rain that we're getting, I mean, there's lots to feed the bait fish, and that holds lots of game fish. So I think next year is going to be just absolutely banner.
Like, what do you think, buddy?
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Of course, fishdope.com will have all the reports for you. $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW, your 30-day code. And, Mark, how do we find you?
Well, we're in Huntington Beach on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. Phone number is 714-840-4262. Website's Pacific Edge Tackle. And one quick question for Chris. I think I had seen a year or two ago in the rod blank listing an 875 MH. Is there anything like that, or 875M or MH, that exists a little bit lighter than that H?
Well, there's not. That was a mistake, and it never got taken out. But if you want one, I can make one for you.
875H.
We we made a spot for that when we redid our blank rack, and I had John do exactly that, and he said, I'll do it, but I can't call it that because it's going to cause me all kinds of problems. He said, I'm exactly that, because I'll make one for you, but I can't put that on the tag, or that'd cause me all kinds of problems.
Well, we can make it now. We're free to make that now. Yeah.
You just have more capacity now?
Oh, I have more freedom.
More freedom. Great, Mark. Well, great to hear from you.
Well, there you go.
All right, lots of good stuff. Okay, I'm going to make a forecast here. If we continue to get a lot of rain, and we're going to have salmon back.
Hey, all right.
In the spring. I'm just saying.
Just before the albacore.
You know, just before the albacore, right? So add that into it.
I like it, man. I like the way you think. Great job, Mark. Appreciate it very much, buddy.
Thanks, Mark.
Salmon, wouldn't that be something again, huh?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Well,
we had some fun with them when they were around.
Yeah, for sure.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll talk to you guys next week. We'll see you.
That's fine, buddy. Appreciate
that very much.
That's going to wrap up our report. Sponsored by Terrafin. Sea surface temperature charge. Focus your offshore fishing in the most productive areas by using Terrafin. They have sea surface temperature, chlorophyll, sea heights, currents, and more. And with Terrafin Mobile, you can access your charge on your phone or any mobile device. Check Terrafin.com for more information. So many great texts standing by.
Yeah.
Everybody's packed up, want to talk to the boys. I wanted to read this one, which we covered Wahoo a little bit, but Bob Head in Point Loma had a specific question. He says, I've been so looking forward to having Chris and John back on the show. My question is, for years, I've used the 610 for my Wahoo jig fishing and yellowtail yo-yo jig fishing. I love the moderate bend to the rod and would really like to go with a graphiter so I have something that's a little bit lighter in feel and gets that graphite lift. Now that I'm in my 80s, can you guys recommend a graphite rod that would be similar in feel to my 610?
What do you think, John?
Well, I don't know if anything like, I would say more like a 700H maybe, right? Or if you're going to go graphiter.
I think maybe you
I like the 6475 and the GG.
Oh, that'd be a great call.
6475 or
75H. 6475H, maybe.
Yeah.
And if we needed to, like, if that 7.5 was too much, we could probably do a little bit of trimming off the back end and get it closer even to 7. But that's a great call, 6475.
Yeah. But pick up that 700H and see what you think.
Such a great rod.
Yeah, and my favorite is at 7400H. It's a similar rod. It's a little bit faster.
A lot faster. Yep.
I think if you came in and pulled on all three of those, you would probably find something that's got a little graphite in it that's reminiscent of your 610. If you're looking for something a little bit lighter, a little bit skinnier.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really smart. Change your tools, and I'm glad you're still fishing. Yeah. Congratulations.
That's cool, man.
Totally keep it up.
Cool. And the 610 is a cool rod, too. Don't throw that thing away.
Yeah. Steven Escondido says, hey, I bought a Tanacom 500 electric reel tackle day. What rod would you suggest for fishing local rock cod? Would it be full roller guides or just a split? Or what do you think?
Wow.
Like just fishing. Like
we do still have a few roller rods in the catalog, and you could do that. Ring guides will work fine for Tanacom, and I would just go with a heavy glass rod, maybe a 670, maybe something like that, or some of our I don't know, what do you think in a glass rod or a
I actually like something when I'm fishing cod. With a little bit of bend in it, with a little bit of give to it, a little bit of feel. So you can feel them. You can feel the bites and such like that. Because you're fishing pretty much straight power pearl anyway.
Yeah.
So
depends a little bit on the depth, too. You know, with him having an electric reel, you're kind of thinking maybe he's fishing a little deeper now that we have those deeper, you know, depth allowances. So if you start getting into fishing 16 ounces and beyond, you want a rod that's got a little bit, you know, it's got a little bit more to it. I almost like that call that John makes for the Wahoo rod. A 6475 might be a cool rod, or something of that sort. I did want to touch on the guide thing, though. I think that you're right. Back in the day, maybe a roller guide was a better call, but the insert materials on those high end ring guides now are not like they were 20 years ago. Like they're fantastic. And one of the things that I know that you guys have done is add some more of those, you know, Fuji ring guides into some of the rods, and I really, really like it. Some of the older school glass rods that always came with a stainless steel, now available in a Fuji, I thought that was a really cool decision you guys made.
Despite what they look like, the ring guides, I don't think are as durable as the Fujis.
No question.
I really don't. You know, looking at it, you would say, oh, no, the steel. You know,
yeah, totally.
Great shiny steel, but over the years,
the modern guides, the modern Fuji guides are just better.
Yeah. Our the weld between the frame and the ring is a weak spot.
Our shop is,
and then you have more moving parts, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our shop is ground zero for rod repairs. And the reason I say that is because, you step off of the boat, and that's it. You know, I mean, every shop gets rod repairs. I don't try to thing like that. It's just because of our proximity to a guy getting off the boat, and he had an insert break. He had a ring fall off. The rod dropped on the deck, and the guy broke. And the guy steps off the boat. Hey, can you guys fix this? And we wrap it up, then he comes and picks it up on his next trip. So I'm confident to say that we see a very high percentage of them. John is dead on. Like, in the old days, you fished the stainless steel ring guide because, you know, people go, oh, those ceramic inserts pop out. It's 70-30 now. The ring, the weld between the ring and the frame fails so much more often than we see an insert crack or break or pop or anything like that. It's way more durable.
Way better.
Almost without exception, when you see one of those inserts crack, chip, break, if you look at it, the frame is bent.
Mm-hmm.
Almost without exception.
Totally.
It might be slight, but it's just enough to break it, you know?
And it takes a lot to do that, because I'll be the first to admit I am not soft on
somebody
my fishing
stepped
tackle.
On it, yeah. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not soft at all. They get thrown in the truck. They get thrown in the boat. They get thrown around. They get thrown in the garage. Like, I'm not as good on my gear as I know that I should be, but it takes so much to produce a problem. They're just so, so good.
Yeah,
for sure. All right, and you have a great text.
I thought so, yeah. It says, good morning, guys. I'm so happy Chris and John are on the show. Kudos, guys, for stepping up and carrying on the tradition and making it even better. My question is this. I've been building rods for many years. I've been through Saber, True Line, and some of the others, but I have settled on CalStar. My quiver consists of probably close to 40 rods, ranging from the GF655, XXXH, down to a 600 heavy. I'm looking for recommendations to fill the lower portion of my quiver. My intention with these rods will be to utilize coastal Baja fishing. What is your recommendation for my next project? That's from Kurt in Vista. I would think coastal Baja fishing, too, would mean a lot of lure casting, maybe cabrias and yellows fishing and that kind of stuff. So maybe some surface iron, some yo-yo jig, something to cast a stick bait or a popper.
It's hard to tell without knowing exactly what he has. I'll probably be recommending
with 40 rods,
something.
He's got a lot.
Yeah. Maybe, there's not very many holes there, right?
Yeah.
So.
But in Baja, a lot of times heavy, all glass is great because they're in pongas. They get thrown around a lot. And you might want to look at the 6.5-foot series 665H, 665XH, something like that. And maybe 665, depending on what pound line you're going to fish. But look at the 665 series. It's in the West Coast. They're all glass, all fiberglass. 6.5. Of course, if you want 6 foot, think 660. If you want 7 foot, think 670. 670 series. And
good ponga rods.
Good ponga rods. Yeah. All glass.
For sure.
Rugged.
Yeah. Another one that I want you to check out is that rod that we built for Pete. Take an 850M and get a little bit creative on, you know, single wrap, lighter frame. Like, that makes a really cool rod. Even though it's not what Pete's doing with it, that makes a cool rod for putting like a Tranks 400 or even a Tranks 500 on and using that as your Cabrilla casting rod. It's 8.5 feet, so it's long enough that you get some good casting distance, but you can still get a lot of leverage. You know, when you get lucky enough to hook one of those 20 pounders, you're sitting in the driver's seat. It's kind of like taking a heavy duty surface iron style rod that you're using as a heavy bass rod. You know, it's still light enough to fish, the blank's skinny enough that you can put a trigger style reel seat on it, and you can get a ton of power, so much more power than you would get out of what would consider a bass rod.
Yeah.
Really cool Cabrilla, you know, coastal
for sure.
Baja type.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 That'd be great.
Hey, Brian in San Diego says, great show. I have a question for Chris and John. Just picked up a Saragossa as I prefer a spinning setup for jig fishing. I know most of the focus of CalStar sales is for conventional reels, but wanted to see if there's a recommendation for a good spinning jig rod from CalStar. What do you guys think?
What he was just saying right now. We can make anything into spinning rod.
Yeah.
Special order.
Any of your.
You're right. Yeah. Right.
But the 800 series blank would be a great right. starting point. So 8 foot, 800 series, depending on what pound line you're going to fish on your Saragossa. We factory spec built for dealer special orders a whole series of 800 recently and with spinning guides. We want the Fuji spinning guides and Fuji graphite reel seat on those. Pretty long hypalon up in front. And you could either get that custom wrapped or ask your dealer to get one custom built, like Fisherman's Land would custom build one, or they could commission us to build a factory wrap 800 series. But that'd be a good
totally.
8 foot.
Yeah.
And maybe XH, something like that?
We do a lot of that throughout the year. I would say we tend to utilize a CalStar blank to build a spinning rod all the time. With the popularity of bigger bluefin now and casting lures and high-quality spinning reels, you know, Twin Powers and Stellas and Saragossas, you can do so much more than you could have in the old days. So we build a lot of spinning rods on blanks. But just like Carl was mentioning, if you've got a full series of, you know, stock graphiters, and you want your rod to continue to match the set, it's just a simple phone call and a couple of emails back and forth, John and Chris, and they'll build one for you. They're just accommodating is beyond, you know, coming from the dealer side of things.
And it's not that much more expensive, right?
It's no more expensive depending on what you know. They don't
tell them what you want.
They don't do an upcharge. Sometimes we're wanting a different componentry. Sometimes spinning guides being a little bit bigger. Sometimes there's a little bit of extra cost in the guides, but I mean, there's no additional charge for it. You might need to wait a couple of weeks for your slot to get onto the build table. But yeah, they're accommodating to a fault from the dealer side of things. It's the easiest people we work with right. as far as the inside baseball and the tackle shop. There's nobody easier to deal
and
with.
And you said something important, Chris. You can't call CalStar and order that rod. You have to go to the CalStar dealer and order that rod.
Yeah, but if you wrote us on email, we would set you up with a dealer. We will not deliver it to you directly. We would deliver through a dealer.
We would set
you up through a dealer. Yeah,
we're not going to sell direct.
We will not go around our dealers.
Yeah, there you go. Good for you. Hey, another great one here from our co-host, Wayne Cotto.
Hey.
Wayne, all right. Wayne's going on our Let's Talk Hookup Royal Polaris trip in on the 8th day in December. And he's got that trip coming up pretty soon. Problem is always narrowing his quiver of rods down to the trip. So what are your 5 to 8 rods that he needs to take on that 8-day Royal Polaris trip in mid-December, Chris?
Wow. Well, you have to start, I think, with the 25-pound rod. That might be a 700M, Graphiter 700M, 40-pound. Like I said, I love the 875H. Rick likes the GG6480 or Glass 64. GG6480, yep.
Favorite rod that you
make. Great 40-pound rod. You need to have a 50 or 60-pound rod. My choice, again, would be 875XH, 875XH. There are others, though, and what would you pick for, let's say, a 60-pound rod, John? What would you tell Wayne to take out of his
boat? I'd like the 875XH.
Same.
Yeah,
oh,
same. I okay.
800, but I like 7.5 for me.
That was the same rod, Pete, that Ron Lane got
right.
For his 6-day on the Shogun. He wanted a 60-pound outfit, and we picked an 875XH, and he said the same thing, that rod just, like, melted into his hand. Like, it's perfect.
He caught a lot of fish on that
one. So right.
Yeah. Although I would like to try those new GG 64, 75, and 75H.
Mm-hmm.
The guys on the new Loan used them, and they said they were fantastic.
Okay.
But I haven't had a chance to fish them yet. So.
Yep. All right. Very good. And Wayne, obviously you're going to want to have you use that same 875XH for Wahoo, because you're definitely going to be targeting Wahoo on that trip. And ideally, you get down to the potato. There's good fish on the Ranger, but you get down to the potato, and you're able to fly line 100-pound with a 775H or 775XH and get a shot at those tuna. I think they've been pretty selective. You may have to drop to 80, but there's been a lot of mid-grade fish, very landable on 80-pound.
one nice thing about fishing down there, you mentioned it before too, it's very clean fishing. Not a lot of sharks, not a lot of bottom to rub you off on, not a lot of big high reefs that come up. Like, you hook one, you just need to hang on to them long enough to get a gap into them.
That's right, yeah.
So, fun. A lot of texts. I mean,
yeah,
like,
it's crazy.
Like dozens and dozens and dozens of texts. And we appreciate all the texts, and thank you very much for that. But one very important thing I want to remind you, make sure you put your name and your phone number. Otherwise, no rod for you. So, and we can't really read your text because we don't know who you are. So, so make sure you conclude your name and your number. There's a number of great texts in there, but they didn't put their name and they didn't put their phone number. So,
well, I'll tell you who did, and that was our caller, Dave, who's in Cabo, but usually in San Diego, says, good morning, guys. Good morning from Cabo. Perfect timing with Chris and John in the studio this morning. I was just reviewing your blank list a couple days ago and noticed that you have the GF700 available in M and H and XH, etc., and then I saw GFX. Can you please tell me the difference between GF and GFX? Thanks from Dave in Cabo, but normally Dave in San Diego.
That's a much more softer parabolic blank. It's the same material that's in the regular GF, but it's on a different, slower mandrel.
Okay.
That will allow more parabolic bend.
And salmon guys, yeah, stuff like that.
What does parabolic mean? We hear you talk about fast and parabolic and fast and slow. What do those mean?
The bend is more even from tip to butt. Like
it doesn't shut off.
Yeah, it doesn't shut off. It's not a fast taper. It's so it bends more evenly all the way through.
The slower, more parabolic rod, the farther the bend reaches into the towards the handle.
Okay. Yeah.
Got it.
Go through the process of how you build a rod real quickly. I mean, can we do that? I mean, is it like what do you start with? You talk about mandrels. Like, somebody may not know what a mandrel is. So
a mandrel is a steel tooling that looks like a fishing rod. It's tapered like a fishing rod.
Okay.
It can be different tapers from 0 to 2 inches. You know, depending on what you're doing.
Right. What you're wrapping.
Right. And it's steel tooling, basically.
Yeah.
And you take rolls of carbon and rolls of fiberglass, and you cut patterns, depending on the blank, may consist of 4 or 5 patterns.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then you start the process of laying them together in an order that makes sense for the bend of the rod.
Okay.
Right.
You have like a formula.
Right. And the mandrel is coated with a release and a glue and an adhesive of some kind. And then you heat tack it, the edge of the patterns, and then you roll it with a machine onto the mandrel. You wrap it with the old term is cellophane, but it's really a poly tape.
Uh-huh.
To make it adhere to the mandrel, the tool.
Almost like a vacuum bagging?
Almost like that, but yeah. It's pressure, right? Yeah. It's not. And then you hang them in an oven and cook them.
Cook them.
Right? And then you pull the mandrel out.
How long do you cook them?
Probably about 3 hours.
And how hot is the oven?
280.
Oh, okay. So not outrageously hot, but warm.
No.
Pretty warm.
It's hot to the touch.
It's hot.
It's just crazy. It's crazy to think that the rod that we all pull, whatever your mind is, your favorite surface iron rod, your brand new 95 mag, it's crazy to think that thing started its life as a piece of flat fiberglass.
Yeah.
A piece of fiberglass mat. Like, it's hard to envision that, you know, that thing started on a roll that was cut with a pair of scissors, you know, and then John cut those things and put them into a different place and roll. It's hard to fathom what you guys do.
Yeah.
It's really impressive.
So then, okay, it comes out of the oven, and then what happens?
You pull the tooling out of it.
The mandrel.
Right. You pull the tooling out of it. Now you have...
How hard is it to get the mandrel out?
Oh, sometimes pretty hard.
Yeah.
I struck a nerve there.
It's a very special tool to get that out.
Yeah, it's a special pull. Yeah, it's not... it's got a lot of force.
Because fishing rods are hollow inside.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's where the mandrel was.
Right.
Okay.
And you're jerking something off that has adhered itself to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of force.
Yeah. Okay, so then you pull it out of the manual.
You strip that tape off of it, right? And then you start systematically sanding it with a sintless sander or a wet sander. And then you hit any, you flex it, make sure it's strong. It's not gonna break later on. This is the first time. Then you start the process of coating it, resanding it, buffing it out.
What are you coating it with?
An epoxy.
An epoxy, yeah.
Two-part epoxy.
Uh-huh.
And then you coat it again, and you hope you don't have no imperfections, so you don't have to coat it, you know, one more time.
Yeah. But
usually two coats does it.
Uh-huh.
Then you flex it again and turn it at the same time. Something I've been seeing since the Sabre days, you know, like same process. And when I've been one of those in front of people, they put their hands up and hide their eyes. They're like, he's going to break it, you know. And then you start looking at them, roll them on a table, look them over, look for imperfections. And hopefully you're labeling it and sending it to a customer.
Okay, so then do you guys actually, so then that's the blank. The actual blank.
Right.
So then if you're going to, then you can actually wrap rods there too, right?
Right. So, well, at that point, you decide, do you need to make rods out of this, model? And then you set it up to have the handles built on them. Once the handles are built, you send them over for wrapping, and the girls do a great job.
You do that all in-house, right?
All in-house. Yeah. At CalStar, there was no one wrapping them out of CalStar, like in their living room or in their garage. Yeah. CalStar is all 100% in our clean room.
In your room. Wow.
I love this. And I got a question to follow with that, if I can. That, you know, I know that you have tan rods and you have black rods. Is that done in the coating process or is that in the material process? Like what, you know, like you can get a black West Coast or a tan West Coast. Is that a material difference or is it a coating that does that?
It's a pigment in the material already. Okay. We buy the material that color.
I love it.
So the actual material before the rod's even rolled.
Right.
It's not a paint.
It's in that.
Right. No, it's not a paint.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. I'll try to not steal too many more questions, but I love having these guys on here. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California Sport Fishing Voice on that Let's Talk Hookup app, as well as Facebook and YouTube Live.
Take a closer look at the Ford Bronco and Bronco Sport. You'll see adventure, discovery, and even a little mud. These 4x4s provide the muscle, tech, and durability to go anywhere. Get your ideal combination of power and capability to handle whatever comes your way with the GOAT modes. That's goes over any terrain. It's time to see Ford in a new light. New inventory has arrived. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer to take a test drive today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
It's time for the PowerPro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with PowerPro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard PowerPro, so you get more line on that small reel. PowerPro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new PowerPro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Time to talk about great gear from Shimano now, and I'll tell you what, one of the reels that I'm really, really stoked about is the brand new Talica 12, new series of Talica. It's so small, but it's so powerful, and you can get the same amount of line on that you had at the previous one.
Yeah, they did a great job.
I mean, and you can catch a big fish on that reel.
They're awesome. They changed the drag system around. You now have a twin disc drag. There's handle change differences. Depending on which of the new series you choose, 20, 25, the 40, and the 50, there's some gear ratio change as well. But I'm with you. That TAC 12, to me, is the perfect reel.
Yeah.
Fits in your hand great. Cast of bait, excellent. I love them.
You want to catch a 100-pound bluefin, you can easily do it on that reel.
Yeah, a reel that fits in the palm of your hand and easily fly lines and fishes a live bait.
Or if you want to catch cod, or you want to catch yellowtail or smaller fish, it's perfectly suited for that.
Cast a lure with it.
Yeah. Cast a mile with it.
And long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3 and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857. A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full-day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hook Up. Having a great time with the boys from CalStar. Chris and John joined us this morning talking so much great information.
Getting all the insights.
I love this, man. Yeah, I CalStar rods have been a favorite thing of mine. I've worked in the tackle store for 25 years now, and I get to learn new stuff every time these guys are in here, and this is a great show.
Yeah. And we're giving away this beautiful rod that Chris and John brought in. It's a 800 XXX8 Graphfighter. It's such an amazing
rod. Pretty cool, man.
Kill a big fish with this.
Yeah, no doubt, dude.
Yeah.
No doubt. Well, we were having a great time talking with you. And again, if you want to join us this morning, the best way is to send in your text message questions through the Let's Talk Hookup app. Again, it's a free download, as Pete mentioned. Make sure you include that contact info in case you're the winner of that beautiful rod. And we had a text from Dominic in San Diego this morning. He says, okay, I'm dying to add a new surface iron rod to my collection at this year's PCS show. I'm wondering if you could go around the room and ask everybody's favorite surface iron rod. And what is the right rod for me? I'm going to mostly be fishing yellowtail at the Coronado Islands. And that's from Dominic in San Diego.
What do you think, Chris?
Wow. Basic glass 90J. Yellowtail at Coronado's, that's it. 9 foot, all glass, great caster, and good performance. You do great with yellowtail on there.
Yeah. What do you think, John?
Jello.
Same.
Ooh. Yeah.
The glass rod.
Yeah.
All glass.
And if I have to take a second choice, I'd probably go 6480.
6480.
Right. Or maybe 6485 light.
Are you fishing straight mono on that, Chris?
For surface iron yellows, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ricky?
GF 100 mag. No question about it. Not even a close second.
Well, you're young.
I love that shoulders. It's light. It casts a mile. It's got great lift. You can catch a bass or a bluefin with it. I love that rod. With a new second for me, is there one of their latest releases, and that's that new 95. I love that thing. They make it both in a glass and a GG. I've casted the glass. I haven't casted the GG yet, but the glass is a phenomenal, phenomenal jig stick.
Yeah.
It got released at last year's PCS show, and it is a true killer.
Yeah. The 90J. Yeah. The GG.
Yeah, GG 90J.
Yeah.
Or GG 95 is a new one that just came out.
The 95, which is 9.5 foot.
Is really
no,
nice.
That's what I'm saying. That's my favorite.
Yeah, your favorite is the GG 90J.
Yeah.
Great call.
Okay, great.
Yeah. It's good. Although I like that new one too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 8.5 footer, much kinder and gentler for the old guy here. So
go and pull all of those, and then pick your favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to PCS show. There's going to be a lot of deals. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of opportunities, and you can go directly to. You can talk to John, and you can talk to the guy that cut the piece of the glass and put it on the mandrel. You can talk to Chris. You can talk to any of the guys at all the different shops that carry CalStar, and you can. You know, you get to pull on everything and decide for yourself. But,
Ben,
don't look past that 100 bag. That's the one.
You have the shoulders for it. John and Carson writes, good morning, guys. Love it when you have the boys from CalStar on the show. I've been fishing CalStar rods since the late 80s. All of my glass rods were wrapped by Yos back in the day. And now my equip has more graphiters than anything else. Keep up the great work.
Fantastic.
A lot of texts like that, right? That's super cool.
I had a fun one from Mark. It says, hey, guys, I understand that CalStar is using more ceramic guides now. Can you explain your choice on using guides and what we might look for in the future? And I think that might be a miscue on what the material was in the old days, but maybe talk about guides and going forward and all that kind of stuff.
For CalStar, we care about being the best and providing the best. And some of that value is the metric in there. But for us, we felt like the quality of the Fuji ceramic guides was the best, and that's why we began to eliminate a lot of the stainless steel guides. Just that weld between the ring and the frame would fail. You know, the whole rod would fall over. The whole stack would. You've seen them when they're on the rail. Next to the car, the whole rod bundle falls over, right? And then all of a sudden you pick it up, and God, I'm missing a ring or two.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We don't see that happening with the ceramic. The frames are fantastic. The frame and ring material are working great. They stay embedded.
They've come a long way.
They've come a long
way. Are you pretty much exclusively Fuji?
Right now we're Fuji and AFCO.
And AFCO, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the stainless steel guides are sourced Asian sources. There's a couple of manufacturers of those. Perfection, the old USA-made Perfection guides, which were the original stainless steel guides, those are just not around anymore.
Yeah.
Those would be great guides. If Perfection was still around, you would definitely see stainless steel guides on our rods continue.
Yeah. I'm so glad Chris said that's the difference. Is like, you know, you use those old guides because they were so strong. Well, they were strong then.
They were
and
good.
Then the oh, ones yeah. that are made now just do not compare to what they were back in the day.
No. So on this label on this Fuji guide on this beautiful rod we're giving away says since 1938. How is that possible? Fuji's been around since 1938. Do you know that?
Well, you know they started as a gear company, right?
Oh.
Bicycle gears and things like that. Oh. So I don't know if that's part of that 1938 or they started fishing products in 1938. Yeah. I'm not really sure.
Wow. But, boy, talk about, you know, something that has changed. I mean, that just like it's gone the opposite direction of that stainless steel guide. You know, I mean, in the very beginning of things, when those insert style guides were around, they were notorious for that. Rings would pop out of them, they'd mm-hmm. crack easy, and now they're pressed into place with real high amounts of pressure, and the different insert materials are so much harder than they were.
They're so much,
but they're super low friction producing. I mean, there's a lot of different options for different guides that those guys make, and you can choose to go extra strong, extra light, you know, super duper reduced friction, you know, and then there's a cost balance there within, you know, there's a lot of options when it comes to picking guides these days, and you just tailor it to what you're after. That rod that we built for you, we wanted everything light, whatever we can do to make this rod lighter. Maybe we're going into that knowing that with a single wrap and a super light frame, that might mean that we need to replace an insert, you know, years down the road, but we want everything to be super duper lightweight. You might build the rod exactly the opposite of, hey, I don't care about it being lightweight. I want this thing to be bulletproof, knock it down a set of stairs and pick it up, and you're going with a heavy frame and a heavy insert. And just all of those become options when you're building that.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, John in San Diego has, I have many CalStar rods from almost new to 20-plus years old. Heavy to light rods, two questions. How do I care for the rods beyond freshwater rinse to prolong the life of the blank, guides, reel, seats? And how long thread, glue, lacquer, or guides will last on some rods that are 25 years old and they're still working? Any suggestions on care for the older rods and how do you prolong that life?
I think if you're still using them 25 years, you've done freshwater rinse. I think that's working great. That's basically what I do.
Yeah,
I'll do a.
You
good
don't wax
freshwater.
Them up and everything like
no,
that.
No, I don't. You know,
no,
ceramic coat them, whatever. Yeah. No, I don't do any of that.
No.
Sometimes I'll put a spray Bow Shield or WD-40 on the reel seats.
Okay,
to keep them cleaned up. I've noticed the Alps reel seats tend to corrode. They like to attract corrosion. So you really need to try to treat them like a gun. Put a light oil coat on them, and it'll cut some of that corrosion down. So you got to watch that reel seat because it's hard to replace the reel seat.
That Bow Shield's a good product for that too. It's easy
great.
To use and that stuff works.
And
really
it's not
good.
Super greasy and
light. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Bow Shield's my favorite. That's what I choose to use all the time.
I spray it onto like a paper or like, not a paper towel, like a terry cloth old towel. I just spray it onto the towel and then I just wipe the reel seat and the threads with that thing and it's pretty much good to go.
Mm-hmm.
I had a fun text here. This was I like this. It says, "Good morning, gentlemen. I was lucky enough to win a CalStar rod from a Ken's Custom Reels trip in September on the American Angler. I now love the 875 series. I have four of them. I'm looking for a perfect 50-pound rod and was curious about the 7450H as opposed to my 875s. Can you give me a little bit of info?" That's from Todd in Fort Collins, Colorado.
7450?
Is it a typo?
Could have been. Maybe the 7400 in the 7.5 foot I'm guessing.
Well, boy, that's a choice between taper there. It's 875XH or 7400H, I think, is the choice there. If you want a faster taper, you go to 7400. I like the flex of a 875, and that's my favorite.
So that's one of the newer series that you guys have produced is the 7400s 7.5. They were always available in a 7 foot. Now it's in a 7.5 foot version, and that's the difference between that and an 875 is the taper. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Mostly taper.
So if you like a rod that's faster or gets into the backbone quicker, less tip bend, you go the 7400 series. And if you like a rod that bends a little bit farther, a little easier to hang on to, you go the 875 series?
Yes, I think that's fair to say. Okay. That's the way I think about it, too.
Okay. Cool. John in Chula Vista writes, good morning, everyone. I was gifted a CalStar 765M 40-100. What line test would be ideal to fish this rod, and what would be too much? So what would you fish that rod with?
I think that's a great 60-pound...
It's great 60-pound set.
60, 80, what's too much? I don't know. 45 pounds of drag maybe is too much for that rod, but it'd be fine. I think it would be fine. Yeah. Set up the guys right.
Yeah. Put 80-pound max squat or 65 or 80-pound Power Pro on it, and then top shot us.
Top shot is required depending on what the conditions are.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. 60 would be deal. And that's a 7 foot rod.
I think it's 6.5.
6.5. Oh, yeah. 765. Yeah. Yep. Of course. Yeah. All right. Right.
But it's a good rod. Enjoy it.
One of the things that I like about CalStar, you always say, like, what's too much? There's no such thing. Like that, and that's what's crazy. Like you're
not going to break
it. You can't break one. And yeah. I know these guys say this, and John sees a warranty, this, that, and the other, but you can't. I always shrug when I have a guy come in, oh, I was using this thing, and I'm pulling on an album cord, he's broke. Like, it doesn't. You know, like, you can't. You pick a 270. You know, go ahead and pick a 25-pound... 7 foot bait rod and pull as hard as you physically can in the direction that you should be pulling on a fish. You cannot break it. It can't be done.
Right. Lots of questions like this one from Ken in Fresno. He says, you know, what does the rod rating really mean along that same lines there? Does that mean it's going to break at that? Is it strength?
I mean, best performance, best flex, best performance, average drag. People are going to fish for that line test.
A recommendation doesn't mean they have to go with that, right?
That's right.
Anything, it's within that range, but anything will work on it.
Yeah, we have guys fishing way outside the range, way higher, and then people that'll fish lower too. Like Pete Haynes wanted to fish the heaviest rod for Wahoo and fish 50 pound on it.
Yeah.
So people fish outside the range all the time.
Yeah, and lower too.
Yeah. Well, one thing we're talking about breakage, I do want to say, over and over, it's latent damage that gets revealed later. So it got dropped, it got caught in a car door, et cetera, and then, in the pickup, bed of the pickup truck, right, banging against the pickup truck all the way down on the ride to San Diego, then all the way back. Latent damage could damage a rod, and I think that's what we see a lot of. If people damage it other ways, and then it reveals itself later.
Yeah, you might have finished it off when you were pulling on that fish, but, you know, 3 trips ago when somebody was in the bow casting a jig and they fired back and they hit the tip, well, that's when it started its life, and then it just, like you say, it gets revealed later on.
And what is the warranty on CalStar?
Well, we take care of it. It's up to our dealers. We support our dealers, and the dealers could choose to replace the rod or generally it's two things. One, if it's pretty new and it's a great customer, they choose to replace it, and we replace it. We support the dealer's decision. A lot of times older rods will get returned, the guys got damaged, et cetera, and it's usually 50% of the dealer, 50% of the customer of MSRP. That's generally the way it goes.
I said it earlier in the show, and I still think it. I think they are accommodating to a fault.
Yeah. You know,
they're accommodating. More times than not, I have called John and be like, hey, man, I don't want to speak on behalf of CalStar, but to me, this is a non-warranty thing. Look, I'm holding it in my hand. This clearly broke in a rod holder, in a misuse. You know, the warranty is on manufacturer's defect. I'm holding this in my hand. It is not a manufacturer's defect. But before I tell him no, I just don't want to speak out of turn on CalStar's hand. So, that's a good customer, and he did this, and he did this. We're gonna go this route, and this is how we're going to choose to handle it. And it might be a discount. It might be something else. In my opinion, they're too lenient and too generous. But that's who these guys are. They take care of their customers like to a fault.
Yes.
You know, they're just. Their warranty might not be written that way, but I have seen it time and time again. Like, they take care of their own. It's a really, really cool company. We're really proud to be a part of.
Yeah. And I admire your dedication to your dealers, too. Your faithfulness. You don't sell online. You don't sell backdoor. It's like dealer oriented. And so you're 100% dealer sales and dealer support.
It's an educated choice. It's an educated decision. They want to talk to people like Rick.
Yeah. There's so many companies out there that have gone the other way.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, it's good for you guys.
We wouldn't be sitting right here if it wasn't for our dealers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm.
They made it work.
And we're proud as a dealer to sell them too. CalStar aren't available everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not in every single shop every single time. Like you know the second you walk into a store if you're a CalStar dealer.
Yeah.
It's a badge of honor on the dealer side to have that too. You know, like we live and breathe those things, and not every
tackle store is a CalStar dealer.
And every tackle store would.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everybody would sell them, but it's a badge of honor to sell a rod like that.
For sure.
Hey, I had a great text that I thought was fun. So, good morning, gentlemen. I love this gear talk this morning. I bought a pile of rods at a garage sale. It's one of my favorite things to do. And a lot of them that have seen better days. I really enjoy the process of rebuilding them and bringing them back to new. One of these rods, my current project, is a CalStar 690J. I'm very familiar with the 90J, but I have no knowledge of the 690. It's a 9-foot honey glass rod. I'm wondering if you could give me a little bit of knowledge on it and what I should do to rebuild it good as new. It's a little bit more of a noodle. That's from Rory in Lakeside.
Yeah, definitely has a softer tip than some of our other jig rods, but it's a great blank.
Yeah. It's good for lobbing squid, you know. It has its uses.
Totally.
I used to use it to fish barracuda.
Light iron.
Yeah.
Fish light iron. Yeah.
You said it best. It's a softer version of a jig rod. For what I do down here, I like to fish bigger lures and heavy line, and we're not doing much of that. The 690 is not in my quiver. However, I do like the GG 690.
Yeah.
The having a little bit of glass, it makes it a little bit beefier. I like that rod. The 690 is not one in my quiver, but it's like you say, it's got its place. It's just the place is not the type of fishing that I find myself doing the most of.
Yeah, but I get it down to the blank, put it in your rod machine with a fine sandpaper and take it down to a very fine finish, and then you'll never get a factory blank finish on your rod once you do that. You're going to have to do something like a thin coat of flex coat or various polyurethane. But John was talking about the epoxy finish, and what's unique about CalStar, that's two-part epoxy, oven-cured, two coats, sanded down to 400 grit between those two coats, and it's not done till that's a mirror perfect finish with no dust particles or anything in it. So that's oven cured epoxy, and that's why it's an acetone resistant finish. It's alcohol resistant. If it's a painted blank, it's not going to be acetone resistant. So that's the best finish we could possibly apply in California. You can't get that when you rebuild the rod, but that's part of the fun. So maybe thin flex coat, maybe a polyurethane spray, and then build it up from there.
Okay.
Handle and guys from there.
Good tip. You talk about squid and sea bass, and of course, one of the great rods for squid and sea bass is that 800XL. What about the new rod, the GG270, is it, that you built mostly for anchovy fishing, 20-pound, 25-pound, something like that? What do you think of that on a squid for sea bass and squid, John?
For me, a little light.
You think it's too light?
But
yeah,
doable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would work.
It would work.
Yeah. It is a little light in the tip, though.
It's too light. How would it differ from the 800XL? 800XL is a pretty light rod.
The chip on the 270-8 is meant to be softer and lighter, and there's more tip section in movement. So it's meant to have that glass feel with a soft, soft tip.
Versus the 800XL Graphfighter would be have a little stronger tip
yep.
to it, a little more power.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
feel a lot faster taper.
Okay.
This is going the complete opposite end of how light we can fish. And this is a fun text that I got from James in La Jolla. It says, I recently got up a 9-day where our captain pulled a curveball and was the first one to go take a look down at the potato bank off of Cabo. We had yellowfin tuna that were pushing 200 pounds, and I was lucky enough to get a few, although completely undergunned. I'm curious, what live bait CalStar is the right one for fly lining 100 pound? Thanks, CalStar. I'm never sorry for a single rod I've ever bought from you.
Oh, he was with Blake on that first trip.
Oh, boy.
57 fish in a day. That was a great catch. And they did have some big ones. They had two or three big ones, I think.
Yeah,
and a lot of mid-grade yellowfin. Yeah, for me, James, it's a 775 XH is what I desire to be fly lining with, 100 or 130 pound. That's what I would choose. 775H or 775 XH. But various models in there will move around from there. 7-footers available, 8-footers available, but I love 7.5-foot.
There you go.
That's it, man. I could agree more. Yeah. Perfect rod for you, James. Best of luck. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky anglers got themselves a brand new 800XH. More with CalStar when we return at Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, as well as Facebook and YouTube Live.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Do you know why 1 million customers visited Summit Gasoline last year at the San Diego Sports Arena? Because they give you the lowest price on fuel, great service, and easy access, even for trucks and trailers at their 24 pumps. Summit is known for the best price on ice, too. Almost half the cost of any other vendor. 25 pounds for just $3.99. Martha and her crew love fishermen, and they'll prove it by giving you 100 pounds free with a 35-gallon fill-up. Summit offers over 40 snacks and drinks to choose from for only 89 cents, and even a line of hand creams and lip balms for 89 cents too. Summit now proudly offers locally made burritos and sandwiches, made fresh daily and ready to go wherever the current takes you. Summit just upgraded their car wash, and for a limited time, get a deluxe car wash for only $6. Grab the wife's car, grab a cheap sandwich, and make up for the day on the water. Summit Gasoline, lowest prices, friendliest staff, easy access, and free ice. What more can you ask for?
One rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers. Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rockod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Fisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodation, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Hook Up!
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hook Up. Having a great time here this morning. What a fun show.
Really
you guys.
Show, man.
Just an unbelievable.
So much knowledge.
Yeah, it is. Such an unbelievable prize. What lucky caller is going to get all that, right, or caller or texter?
Flip
we're
going to
get the honor. John's going to flip us the coin.
All right.
Today we have a texter. Congratulations, John in San Marcos. You have a brand new 800XXH with your name on. It'll be at the tackle store waiting for you, buddy.
You're going to come pick it up from Ricky at Fisherman's Landing Tackle. And thank you guys for that generous donation.
So cool,
thank you for continuing the tradition of CalStar. I mean, it's just such an awesome deal that, Chris, you came in and just made things better. And I know, John, you're very grateful for that.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you. Yep. Well, we appreciate it. Expect it to continue.
Yeah. And of course, dealers all over the place. Just go to your local tackle shop, and then the next time we'll see you probably at PCS in Costa Mesa.
Yeah, we'll be there.
You'll have lots of T-shirts and sweatshirts and all that kind of stuff.
T-shirts, hoodies, sun shirts, maybe some hats.
Okay.
Hey, all right.
All right. So. Cool. Well, look forward to seeing you at both the PCS shows, both Del Mar as well as the new one.
We'll see you there. We'll see a lot of listeners there.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your support. Let's talk
about
it. Leon was our original. He was the original sponsor of Let's Talk Hook Up.
We're
very grateful. Yeah, the number one sponsor was CalStar. So great.
And we've been continuous. We expect that to continue.
Yeah, nonstop for 34 months.
Wow, I had no idea. That's cool.
Fantastic. Super cool. Well, hey, tomorrow on Let's Talk Hook Up, Captain Brian Kiyohara from the American Angler will be here. And we want to thank you out there. Thanks to everybody out there for listening, calling, texting. And we'll see you tomorrow right back here on Facebook, YouTube Live, 97.3 The Fan. And, of course, the Let's Talk Hook Up app. We'll see you there.